This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is the World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs shows. We're taking you round the globe one country at a time, and tonight we're stopping off in American Samoa, where we've got some questions for you. In the macho world of international soccer, just how much acceptance is there for a transgender player? Why did it take a tiny island state of American Samoa to blaze the trail in this area? And what was Australia's role in bringing about the development of the world's first transgender professional football player? To understand gay life in American Samoa, Dean, Heath, and Damien, myself, are going to be speaking with Jaya Salua, the world's first transgender professional footballer. We'll also be hearing the story of Mikhail Sebastian, a gay man who is stateless and has become stranded in American Samoa. That's right, stranded in the island nation of American Samoa.
Stateless, living at the airport. Well, almost.
Yeah, very near to it. But here's a taste of what we have in store for tonight.
It felt like we overcame our biggest fear going into every single game. Our mentality going into the game with Tonga was completely different because of Thomas Runyon's coaching technique. And he helped us to think outside of our losing mentality. And when we finally won, it felt good. I felt a strong sense of relief.
Joy 94.9.
We are going to start off with our worldwide wrap. So we're going to discuss the news of the week. And there has been quite a bit of it in the last week or so.
Yeah. For example, in Austria, openly gay U.S. Ambassador Daniel Berra has married his longtime partner, Brian Walsh. And by the way, they do look pretty cute together.
Oh,
I just have to say, like walking
sweet.
On the beach, holding hands.
Oh, so romantic.
I don't know why this is international news these days, but oh well, so it is. The pair tied the knot in a ceremony in Vienna over the weekend.
Oh.
One day it won't be news.
Oh, no. And we long for that day to arrive, especially here in Australia.
Over to Vietnam, where 300 people took to the streets of Hanoi on Saturday to celebrate LGBTI Pride at Vietnam's third annual Pride event. The theme for this year was together, and hundreds took to their bicycles, rainbow flags flying to show their support. So progress on the same-sex marriage bill has stalled, and current polling, though, shows that 1 in 3 Vietnamese people do support same-sex marriage.
In some bad news, in Nepal, an astounding reversal of LGBTI rights. We've talked about Nepal on our show before, and we've had some pretty, you know, positive news in that area. But Nepal's Justice Minister, Nahari Akaya, is seeking to enact new punitive laws criminalising homosexuality. Great. So, Sunil Plant, Nepal's first openly gay MP and a former World Wide Wave guest, has suggested that he was pushing back for the reforms, and Pant has said that he's really concerned about this attempt of taking Nepal back to the draconian era, presumably decided that since Uganda's having its nasty laws repealed, maybe there's some room there for them to step in.
How much time and energy is lost basically just to wind back the clock? We make this progress, the countries go, they pass legislation, we think we have progress, and then people invest time and effort to repeal those laws. It's just a real...
It's a bit of a downer, isn't it?
It's a punch in the stomach.
So let's get some uplifting news. Okay, how about India? The University's Grants Commission, they've created a separate category to include trans students in applications for scholarships and fellowships. So this means applicants are no longer just restricted to choose male or female identities. And this is India, you know, as if the fourth largest, most populated country in the world. So we're talking about a lot of people here ticking the right box.
It's good to see. In Japan, there's basically a mental health organization has created a poster entitled "Who Will You Come to Like?" And it's part of a series on healthcare issues. And the poster shows the differences between straight, gay, bisexual, and asexual individuals. as well as explanations of how sexual orientation is discovered, how it is innate, and cannot be modified by outside pressures.
This is all in Japanime. Yeah. Like, you see the little cartoon characters, girl, arrow, boy. Boy, arrow, girl, and boy, boy, arrow, heart, girl, girl.
It's so cute. And the poster stems from a study of 609 LGBT school children that showed that 53% were verbally abused, 49% were ignored or excluded from groups, and about 20% experienced physical bullying, and 11% suffered sexual abuse, such as having their clothes taken off by classmates under duress. So, yeah, look, you know, it's obviously a step in the right direction.
Mm. Speaking of stepping in the right direction, in Yemen, Sir Alan Duncan, so if you are into trivia, it's the UK's Conservative Party's first out MP. He was just appointed as the special envoy to Yemen, ironically, a country where homosexuality is punishable by death.
Mm, well, someone obviously wasn't happy with their Kris Kringle gift last year from Sir Duncan, were they? So the 1994 penal code in Yemen, which Yemen denies having any LGBT citizens. Yeah, we've heard that before. States that while unmarried men face flogging or 1 year in prison for same-sex sexual acts and women face up to 7 years in prison, married men can be sentenced to death by stoning for homosexuality.
Not that we have any LGBT citizens or anything, just making the law.
They're just for no particular reason. Sir Alan has been appointed special envoy to Oman, where in 2008 he proposed to his then-boyfriend on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. He seems to have a bit of a sense of humour. In Oman, homosexuality is punishable by up to 3 years in prison. So really enjoying that diplomatic immunity, I think. Oh, geez.
And that brings us to the end of the Worldwide Wrap. That's right. And we are going to be heading off to American Samoa. So stay tuned. You're on Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGB Denmark. You're hearing me on the Worldwide Wave.
And tonight we are talking about American Samoa. Now, American Samoa is an unincorporated territory of the United States located in the South Pacific Ocean, southeast of Samoa, which declared independence from New Zealand in 62. American Samoa consists of five main islands and two coral atolls. And the largest and most populous island is Tutelia, part of the Samoan Islands chain, which is located west of the Cook Islands, north of Tonga. So there you go. Small population, 55,000. It's the southernmost territory of the US and one of two US territories. And I know a bit about American Samoa because my boss has a master's in Pacific studies and her family originally from Samoa. And she was telling me all the really fun stuff, like everyone works at the cannery, and one of the things is tuna and tuna products are the main exports, and the main trading partner is the United States. And she told me lots of other fun stuff as well. Like, other people also tend to join the military because it's a pretty secure job, and they spend all their money on their SUVs, and they drive around playing gangster rap.
Did she happen to tell you when same-sex activity became legal?
Well, she doesn't really know much about that. No, no. But she wasn't able to help much with that sort of thing.
I bet Damien could. Damien, tell us, when did same-sex activity become legal?
It was legalized in 1980. However, same-sex couples are not eligible for all of the same protections that are available to opposite-sex married couples.
Which may be due to the fact that American Samoa, although more liberal than Samoa, is a very religious environment. So as of February 2013, the religious affiliations of American Samoa were largely Christian. 50% were Christian Congregationalist, 20% Roman Catholic, and 30% Protestant and other faiths. Atheism is not a big thing.
Although, to be fair, they tried to put together a bill to ban the recognition of same-sex marriages. And by they, I kind of do mean a lot of the strong Christian faith folks. And that bill was killed because the House Judiciary Committee recommended for it to be killed. Kill the bill. So, in short, they tried to ban recognition of same-sex marriages, but not same-sex marriages. The recognition of them were not banned.
Yes. So, although it must be said that Jayase Ula, who's our lovely guest tonight, did say that it's quite liberal in Western Samoa. So, despite being very religious.
In other fun facts, did you know in the 60s and 70s, American Samoa was played a pivotal role in five of the Apollo, that's the moon missions. So astronauts had returned to Earth just a few hundred miles from Pago and then were transported to the islands en route home. And there are three moon rocks gifted to the American Samoan government by President Nixon. Crazy, huh?
That's a bit random, isn't it? But it would be lovely coming back to Earth, and the first thing you get to see is beautiful American Western Samoa. Because American Samoa, because it's just a beautiful archipelago of sun-kissed beaches and romantic walks with among the palm trees. It'd be lovely for them to come back.
Until you realise that they also suffer terrible earthquake tsunami. So on September 29, 2009, they got hit by an 8.1 magnitude earthquake. And it was the largest quake of 09, which had waves with heights as high as 6 meters. So you probably wouldn't want to come back to Earth to be visited by that.
No, and you might also realize that American Samoa is small enough to have just one zip code. That's 96799, in case you wanted to write someone a letter there. And they do use, like all territories, they use the U.S. Post Service for mail delivery. But speaking of mail delivery, Fafnir, do you guys know about that?
Tell us everything, Squirrel.
Oh, I can't tell you everything, but in a short, they're basically a third gendered people, right? So it's been recognized since at least the 20th century in Samoan society, and it's quite traditional cultural. You are generally male at birth, but also it's just the families are quite comfortable, particularly if they had too many boys, to have one and raise it as a girl, raise him as a girl. He would dress as a woman, he would do the women's chores, help mom out at home, but really be respected as a general stereotype, if we're going to stereotype, for being quite hardworking and just sort of a general asset to have in the family. So Fafnir not looked down upon, but rather quite elevated.
It's true, because my boss did mention that one of her cousins is now Fafnir. And yeah, it is just seen as being just one of those things. So it is something that's part of the culture.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
You are listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, where tonight we are visiting American Samoa. And if you stay tuned, you listen to our interview with Jaya Sayula, who is a Fafafini. It's the third gender, which is common in the Pacific communities. And the foray into football.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And on Joy 94.9, you can also stream live at joy.org.au. And let me tell you, that is a pretty amazing thing. I can say when I was in New Zealand, living in a small town, population 69, my favorite thing to do when I was feeling like the only gay in the village was to go to joy.org.au, turn it on and listen to gay radio streaming live over the world. Gave me hope, gave me confidence, and gave me the idea to move to Melbourne.
We love our international listeners, very much so. And we can, you know, it's lovely when we're told that people are streaming from overseas. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and we also love when we get to chat to people like Johnny Sayula. Okay, so what is cool about him is that he is a 23-year-old, played a key role in American Samoa's 2-1 victory against Tonga. But that's not why he's on our show, is it?
Not just that. Now, we should probably give a little bit of background. American Samoa is not the world's best soccer team. And they, they had a 30-game losing streak. And they were outscored by 220.
30-game losing streak.
Yes, and
they're playing people like Tonga. No offense.
Yes. So, which is, and as we know, Samoa and Tonga and New Zealand are very much rugby union nations. So they crush people quite literally when it comes to rugby union. But they had a 30-game losing streak in which they've been outscored by 229 goals to 12.
Oh.
Yeah. It was bad. It was very bad. Yeah.
And so that would make the fact that they won an incredible, incredible victory. And the fact that they won came down to a bit their defense. And the star defender, who was born a boy, Jonathan, but now lives as Jaya Sayula, a transgendered woman, and insists on playing in full makeup.
Well, you've got to look glamorous. Hello. You know, Jeez, glamour is very important.
I mean, you know, when you think about it, even the female soccer players, when I think about them playing on the field, I don't imagine that they wear that much makeup.
Oh, maybe some clear mascara or something.
Yeah, a little bit of mascara. Yeah, that was the limit to it. And yet here we have someone who is taking his country or helping on the defensive line and, fully willing to do that in full makeup. Good on him. So let's hear a little bit about what he has to say.
Joy 94.9.
You are attributed as the world's first transgender footballer, professional footballer. How did you get started in football?
I started playing when I was 11. It was the only sport offered in elementary or primary school competitiveness in the private league. And soccer was the only sport that they offered to the private schools when I was in elementary. So it's not like I went out to pursue soccer because there was an interest. I had no other choice. It was the only sport available.
Did you ever imagine you would be playing for your national soccer team?
Not for the national soccer team. I knew I was good because the first year that we entered the team, we won the private school division championships, and I got the MVP trophy. So at that point, I realized I was good, and that's when I started to pursue it throughout elementary into high school. In my second year in high school, I got asked to join the national team.
In being asked to join the national team, was there any resistance to that from, because it is a men's team that you were joining?
Yeah. There was no resistance at all. They came to me and asked if I wanted to try out for the national team. And my first tryout session, I made it. And I got enlisted, but I hardly ever got any time to play in any official matches. It wasn't until 2011 when Thomas Rongen decided to put me in the field against Tonga.
And that game, American Samoa actually won. How did that feel?
It felt like we overcame our biggest fear going into every single game. Our mentality going into the game with Tonga was completely different because of Thomas Rongen's coaching technique, and he helped us to think outside of our losing mentality. And when we finally won, it felt good. I felt a strong sense of relief.
How was that received in American Samoa by the general public?
People don't pay much attention to soccer in American Samoa, but when we won, a lot of people were proud of our accomplishment, and because we were making world news, a lot of people took interest in it. And the governor of American Samoa actually flew down to Apia to watch the final match against Samoa, the independent state of Samoa, and I think that's the first time he's ever done that. And since that win against Tonga, the youth involvement in the association, the Football Federation of American Samoa, the interest in the sport has tripled, according to the youth camps that they have.
Wow, that's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about American Samoan culture and acceptance of trans people, or whawhawhines?
Yeah. The same culture as Western Samoa, the independent state of Samoa, as a lot of people in Australia know. Same culture, same people, same language. I think what separates us is the political status. We are independent, and American Samoa is, of course, under the U.S. And I think that gives us a sense of, I don't want to say, but I think we're more liberal.
Right.
We know our rights and our freedoms, and a lot of the whawhawhine in American Samoa are able to live out their lives whichever way they want. And just recently in Samoa, whawhawhines have just now been able to wear women's clothing to work, and which is a great accomplishment for the whawhawhine community in the Western Samoa. But that's how it's always been in American Samoa, and that's why I say that the American Samoan culture is more liberating.
Is it easier for a whawhawhine to be out than a gay man, for example?
No. I think I can comfortably say yes. It's It's accepted in American Samoa. In American Samoa, like I said, the people are very liberal. The people are accepting of gays. Also, they're very understanding of gays.
Now, the football community is seen as quite macho and quite homophobic. There are no, or virtually no, openly gay soccer players. Did you experience any lack of acceptance when you were playing in soccer?
For the national team, very few times, but they were never serious remarks, just being called names in respective languages. Like in Tonga, they called me the Paliti on the field, which I don't seem very discriminatory. Also with the Cook Islands, I felt like I was more of a target than any of the other players in my team, probably because my tackles were tough. Other than that, no, never. And never with my own teammates or the supporters in American Samoa.
And you are now studying performing arts. That's a little bit of a switch from the football field. How are you going in the performing arts?
2011, when I left to play for the national team again, that was my last time in school. I was studying performing arts at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. But when I went back to spring session in 2012, I had been dismissed for missing the semester without notifying them that I was going to miss the semester. So I had been dropped from my classes and I was dismissed from the university. I'm thinking more now about getting a kinesiology degree, and I could go back and help the association with the development of soccer.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us on the World Wide Wave.
Thank you so much, Matt, for having me.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on World Wide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
And that was the voice of Jaya Saula. Jaya Saula, she was a 23-year-old player back in 2011 and played a key role in American Samoa's 2-1 victory against Tonga in a 2014 World Cup qualifier. I like the fact that she says that she has not really felt discrimination in the Cook Islands, maybe a bit of a target because of her mean tackling skills.
Yeah, because she's a tough tackler, yeah. Which is impressive given that soccer is meant to be not really much of a contact sport.
Oh, come on now. The slide tackles? Soccer is completely a contact sport, and to have someone like her on defense probably would have been brutal.
I will also say it makes sense that she's moving into performing arts because, as we know from watching the World Cup, people are great at going, oh, God, they've kicked me in the ankle. Oh, I mean, it's such agony, even though the other player was about 3 meters away. So her soccer will only improve because she'll be able to, oh God, I've been, you know, clipped by another player and just fall in a heap. Should be very convincing.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that she was accepted and it was such a non-issue for her. And it almost makes me question what Western culture does when it comes in, because if this Fa'afini completely accepted in American Samoa, accepted as a soccer team player, which, you know, you kind of visualize as like the manliest of manly, you know, sport going.
Soccer?
Well, okay, rugby union, but, you know, the second most manliest of manly sport.
Second?
Okay, after cricket.
I think it's probably 34th or 35th according to male stereotypical blokey behavior, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but, you know, what we're driving at here is that it's a male-dominated sport, and yet she succeeded in it and is pretty casual about the success, and that almost makes me proud of American Samoa and a little bit disgusted with how Western lenses have made it into an issue. Like, we've sought her out and interviewed her because, oh my gosh, she's on a da-da-da. But it's not a big drama there.
It's
but
a shame that it's so, because she's so unique. Yeah.
The upside, though, I guess, is that, well, she, by self-admission, fell into soccer. It wasn't something that she pursued. But that's given the opportunity, or provided the opportunity for, I guess, the issue to be seen on a worldwide stage because of the World Cup. So I think that exposure is obviously a really great thing. So, yeah, Western culture does have a very different point of view, but at least this is kind of putting it out there and I guess, hopefully, making people rethink the way that they view sexuality and gender.
This is
Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
And welcome back to World Wide Wave, where we're in American Samoa this week with Damien Dean Heath and myself, Squirrel.
Next up, we are going to hear the story of Mikhail Sebastian, a gay man who became stateless, that is, a person without a country, who is now trapped in American Samoa. For now, a family of eight has taken him in. But what is his future? This story comes from CNN and the National Public Radio in the USA.
Last year, he's been trapped in American Samoa, a U.S. territory in the South Pacific, unable to leave and return home to the United States. In other words, Mikhail Sebastian is stateless, and he has ever been since he left his home in Azerbaijan, in what was the Soviet Union, forced to flee when the Soviet bloc began to crumble in the 1990s. He sought refuge in the newly independent nation of Turkmenistan. But Sebastian is gay and homosexuality is illegal in Turkmenistan. So once again, he had to search for a home, and he found one in the United States with only one catch. Since he still held a passport from the Soviet Union, a place that no longer exists, he couldn't travel outside the U.S. Then, last December, he was allowed to fly to American Samoa for a brief vacation. But he took a short side trip to Western Samoa, not realizing that that is not part of America, it is an independent nation. And so, for the past year, he's been trapped in limbo, living with a family of eight and using the Wi-Fi at the local McDonald's to send emotional SOS.
I came here for only 4 days vacation, so that's only clothes I brought here. I didn't plan to stay here so long. If I knew beforehand, I wouldn't be boarding the flight. I feel sad. Because I just want to go home. First articles were published about me and about my case. I was kind of interested what the audience can say. Some of them were like thinking, oh, what he's complaining for, he's in the tropical island, how bad it can be. It's not about being stuck in a tropical island. And when we're talking about statelessness, when a person doesn't belong to anybody or anywhere.
In whatever I can.
Statelessness takes all human away from you. And it demonizes you a lot. And you start thinking about so crazy stuff. And I was thinking about suicide on many occasions, but something stopped me. I don't know if it was God. I just couldn't do it.
Indeed, like the other 12 million stateless people worldwide, all Mikhail Sebastian wants is to go home.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And that was the voice of Mikhail Sebastian, a gay man who became stateless. And he did mention having some rather sad feelings about being trapped without a country. So if you are affected by this or in any way needing help, you feel free to call Lifeline 13 11 14 or jump on beyondblue.org. Yes, so we didn't want to overstate his trauma in a way that was too dramatic. Nevertheless, this is a stateless person. Have you guys thought about that?
It's crazy to think that you leave your country, but it doesn't really exist anymore in the format it was when you were there.
Mm-hmm. We take it for granted, Dean, don't we? That we're we have this, our stable country, our passports work. We can travel somewhere and know that Australia will be there when we come back. So let's recap. So he's caught up in the dissolution of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. He goes to Turkmenistan, and because being gay is illegal, he is not allowed to be a refugee there like everyone else, like his family. So he is stateless and not allowed to even be in the country, so he has to fly. He chooses to leave, go to the U.S. as a refugee there, mm-hmm. where he's fine, but he can't travel because he has a passport for a country that doesn't exist. And that takes him to figuring out creative travel ideas. You know, he could go to Puerto Rico, he could go to American Samoa. So he takes a holiday there, and then the fatal mistake.
crosses the border. And, I mean, I've been having trouble working out which Samoa is which all night. So you can see how he would easily make a mistake, especially as someone who didn't grow up in America.
Or New Zealand.
Or New Zealand. That's correct.
The other Samoa.
Yes, so the other Samoa. And the other thing is, as my boss Charlotte explained, people in American Samoa don't actually have American accents. So, and as we heard from our interviewer earlier in the show, you would not be able to tell any difference. It's not as though one half of the country speaks with a broad American twang and the other country does not.
No, Jaya definitely sounded Pacific Islander.
That's it. Just generally, you know, as much to our ears as anyone from, say, Tonga or, you know, New Zealand would sound. So he probably had no... I mean, you can understand when he says he had no idea that he was actually, as they put it, sort of... how did they put it? It was just crazy. Like, sort of, he's deported himself from...
Yeah, they were just like, you've chosen to self-deport, and so you're not welcome back in America. So now, and he talks about it, like, he's like, oh, stuck on a desert island. That'd be fun for a week or two. But I checked on Twitter, and you can follow him too, at Michael Benoit, which is his middle name, and Sebastian. Basically, he's still there, and he says, filed for asylum in March, but immigration didn't make a decision yet, didn't review his case yet, and he is still in limbo. So that's his most recent tweet.
Look, I love coconut water as much as the next person, but I expect that after a certain amount of time in American Samoa, I would be sick to death of it and I'd be wanting some good old-fashioned American food. It's a good thing he's at McDonald's.
Yes, he hangs out at McDonald's on the Wi-Fi, so you can get in touch with him, read his blog and all of that. Did you know, though, if you have a medical emergency, you can use coconut milk or juice as... in place of blood as an intravenous drip?
Yes, I'm going to tell my team at work that, because we've been arguing about the benefits of coconut water. Someone said it seems like...
I can't believe you just said yes. The most interesting fun fact.
Because of electrolytes. It's fantastic. I love that stuff. But I work with people who say it's like gutter water. They're so wrong.
But moving back to being treated a bit like gutter water, statelessness. I had no idea, but 12 million people are stateless. And here we are saying we are the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. So I thought we'd at least dedicate this segment to those LGBT people who are stateless, and especially the LGBT people who are stateless because of their sexual identity, preference, what you will. Very uncool. Seriously, just thought we'd raise that issue of statelessness, because we wouldn't have the opportunity to do that otherwise, as we, by nature, stop off at a country each week. So let's give a shout out. We're not even thinking about all the asylum seekers coming over by boat. How many of them are LGBT because they were in Iran or in Iraq, in a country that did not let them express their sexual identity? They're fleeing the war. They're on a boat and Tony Abbott and co turning them back. And by Enco, I'm including myself, because here I am in this country, not necessarily doing anything to bring them forward. That brings us to the end. And again, that was Miguel Sebastian, and he is currently stateless in American Samoa, literally hanging out in a McDonald's, listening to the Wi-Fi. You're on Joy 94.9, the World Wide Wave.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on World Wide Wave.
And that brings us to the conclusion of yet another episode of the World Wide Wave here on Joy 94.9. We'd like to thank our guests for this evening, Jaya Sayula, the world's first transgender footballer. There is also a documentary that you can watch. You can visit the URL nextgoalwinsmovie.com. Definitely worth checking out.
Filmed in 2011. Very interesting, apparently.
And also thanks to the CNN and National Public Radio for the story on Mikhail Sebastian and his unfortunate scenario where he's self-deported in Western Samoa. Big thanks to all those that have messaged us in at Gilmar, Greg, Brett, Rob, Marta and Liao for all your messages and interactions with us on Facebook.
And thank you to the lovely Gordon at the front desk as well.
Thanks for riding the World Wide Wave. Catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.